Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
John 14, verse 2. You there? And I'll be reading the New Living Translation. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You know, sometimes people put on Jesus like whatever idea they have. I'm telling you, man, when you're reading the book of Revelations about Jesus, he's got fires coming out of his eyes. He's got a sword coming out of his mouth. Hallelujah. He's not. Anyway, verse 8. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Whoa. And Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show you him to you? Don't you believe? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't you believe? Why are you afraid about? Why are you fretting? Why are you concerned about what they are saying? Who's they? Them's in the back. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. So if you have a t-shirt that says, just believe, it's missing the rest of that verse. It needs to say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. So pencil it in when you get home. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name. I will do it. And if you love me, obey my commands and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Father, we thank you tonight for what you're doing. We thank you that your word is true, that your word is a light unto our path, our lamp unto our feet. And I pray that you would come in power tonight, Lord, that you would go through the cameras. I speak right now to every person who may be in a hospital room, who may be in a bed of sickness right now, listening to this message. I command healing right now. Come over you. I bind every assignment of hell. You said in your word, that believing whatever we ask you, we shall receive it, and we receive it now. And I declare healing and the blessing of God over all those watching online, over all those sitting here in this place, standing in this room. I declare the blessing of God over you. I declare breakthrough over you. I declare strength. I declare breakthrough in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. So what is it that God wants us to do? Now, every one of us, you exist for a reason. None of you are here by chance. None of us are a result of chance plus time plus matter. There was an explosion that happened, and then billions and billions and billions and billions of years later, you popped up. That is a lie. We have a reason to be here. Hallelujah. We have a speaking God. How many ever got a prophetic word? How many ever got a good prophetic word? How many of you have seen so many of your prophetic words being fulfilled? You know, back in the old building at Lucille Street, we had a special guest come, Apostle Tom Hammond, and he was preaching one night only. They were on a special trip. You know, and it's like, I don't know about you, but, you know, oftentimes like, Lord, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me, right? And so, you know, I'm sitting there. It's a Sunday night. I was wearing like, you know, a white shirt. I just remember. And anyway, and so I'm sitting there and he's preaching. And then, you know, he's prophesying over people. And it's like, ooh, ooh, pick me, anybody? Yeah, and then he picked me. And it was like, young man, you know, in the white shirt, would you stand up? And the Lord will say to you, you know, and he said, you got the greasy anointing. Seriously? He just called me a greaser. You got the greasy anointing. And he says, God's gonna help you get out of tough places. How many know that's a good word? I declare over you tonight, if you're in a tough spot right now, receive the greasy anointing to get out of whatever tough spot you're in. Hallelujah. Come on, say with me, lubed up. That's what anointing means, smeared with oil, one of the meanings of the word. Hallelujah, endued with power. Now we are all created for a reason. And Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know how pastors sometimes will say, you know, I plugged this into ChatGPT and this image popped up. I plugged it into ChatGPT and it was like, you know, a waterfall. And I'm like, well, that didn't work. But anyway. But you were a masterpiece. It was a masterpiece painting. God created you for a reason. Every single one of us. Every single one of you. Come on, say with me, me. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, now it is God who makes both you and us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So basically, when you become a believer, when you surrender your life to God, the Lord will anoint you. He will put his spirit inside of you, and then he will fill you with your spirit, with his spirit, to guarantee you that what he said he will do will be done in your life. Everything that God said in his word will happen in your life if you believe it. Hallelujah. And now looking at our text, Jesus is making preparations with his disciples. He said he knows he's about to die. This is it. He's going to fulfill his calling. He's there. They're about, you know, it's right. They're right at the gate. They're right at the beginning where he's going to be, you know, they're going to go through some of the greatest disappointments in their lives. Let me tell you something. A lot of times the call of God in your life, the fulfillment of that word that God spoke over you may seem like it is the greatest disappointment that ever happens in your life. But let me tell you that God, he is faithful. What he said he will do, he will do. And though it seems like the vision is tearing, do not worry. God will bring it to completion. And that's where they are. And they still don't fully realize who he was, who he is. And he's telling them, if you've seen me, you will see the Father. I and the Father, I run. He's like, the whole time he's doing everything he's doing. He's working miracles. He says, I do the works of the Father. I don't do anything of myself, but everything that I see the Father do, that is what I'm doing. And he's telling them, he prays for, you know, for Lazarus. He's like, Father, I'm just praying so they know that we are one. But like, you know, I don't need to pray because you answer all my prayers. In other words, all I do is got a command and things will happen. Lazarus, come out. He came out. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hebrews says that Jesus is the express image of the Father. Maybe if you're here tonight, maybe you have an idea. You see your heavenly Father as your earthly father was. Maybe your earthly father was less than a father should be. Maybe he wasn't, you know, a good father. But let me tell you, God is a perfect God. He is a good father. He is the Father of heavenly light in whom there is no shadow or variation in turning. God is good. Hallelujah. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they respond, show us the Father. And he gives them a glimpse of why he called them. He's telling them. And he called them to do greater works than he did. You know, a lot of people, you will either shrink back from the calling, like, oh no, I'm not worthy. That's actually false humility and pride. Because you are saying that you know more than the writers of scripture inspired by the Holy Ghost. You know more than they do to reject what God has called you to do. Come on, I got a smile on my face. I ain't angry. My eyebrows lie sometime. Or they get puffed up. Either way, we can't shrink back or get puffed up because it's God's power at work in us. It is the Spirit of God that enables us, that empowers us to do great things for God. So don't worry about it. If you're of the kind that says, all the glory to God, not me, Lord. You know, there's a pastor named Bill Johnson, and he said, this girl did a special. How many guys ever seen specials at churches when people would come up and they would sing a song? And she did a special, and she was like, oh, that was so beautiful, sister, and it was so good. And she said, oh, it was all the Lord. It was all the Lord. And he answered and said, well, it wasn't that good. How many know you got a part to play in your own life? We can't shrink back. You can't get puffed up. So what do? You rejoice. Hallelujah. Rejoice. But I'm going through a trial. Rejoice. Hallelujah. You can boast about how great God is. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is the power of God. It is the Spirit of God that enables us to do great and mighty things. So don't worry when people look at you and say, oh, could anything good come out of Wasilla? Absolutely. Can anything good come out of Eagle River? Absolutely. Can anything good come out of Anchorage? That's right. Absolutely. I had a pastor look at me one day. We went on a missions trip. Spent all that money, all that time, and going on, and the pastor's like, looks at me and says, what about you? You ever gonna amount to anything? Now, you can either feel bad for yourself, or you can be like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe I could do more. Come on, throw it to me, maybe I could do more. Hey, you said it. We're called to proclaim the gospel. In your neighborhood. By the way, we live in Alaska. It's literally the end of the world compared to Jerusalem. You don't got to go on no missions trip. You don't got to go far. All you got to go is to your neighbor. If you go to your neighbor, you live in Alaska, you're at the end of the world. Hallelujah. And you don't need to go on a mission trip. Go evangelize your own street. Tell your coworker about Jesus. Not doing, don't stop the production line. At lunch, tell them, hey, Jesus loves you. Then act like you're actually a Christian. Praise the Lord. Demonstrate his works to every nation and every generation. That's why God called us. That's why you were born again. And maybe you're sitting here right now like, man, I got so, you don't know what I'm going through. I understand. And I believe we've all been there. Every single one of us have gone through trials. And I got good news. Trials won't end until we're on the other side of eternity. And so the Bible says, rejoice when you go through various trials because it is strengthening you. It is fortifying you. Hallelujah, to do greater things. Jesus' ministry was really in a small part of the world, was in Israel. And he says, you will do greater things than I have done. Did you know that when that was written, it wasn't just for the Pastor Daniels of this world? Did you know that before Pastor Daniel was Pastor Daniel, he was Brother Daniel? Before Pastor Kirsten was Pastor Kirsten, he was Uncle Kirsten, brah. Uncle, yeah, because they were on Maui. You know that before I was Pastor Gil, I was Minister Gil. Before I was Minister Gil, I was Gil. Before I was Gil, I was Backslidden Gil. But there's a progression of things that happen. And many people disqualify themselves or say, oh, you know, I'm not good enough or I'm too dumb. Listen, you can't be more awkward than I was. I guarantee you, you can't be. Why are you naughty, Scott? Praise the Lord. Scotty Choir, I love you, man. He's like, yeah, you were weird. Thank you. Hey, if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. Come on. Hallelujah. I just learned, keep your mouth shut and they won't know. Now, Jesus' ministry was in a small part of the world, and he said, we're going to reach the entire rest of the world. How is that? Through you and through me, we can do greater works than what he did. But you got to position yourself to do the work of Christ. And how do you receive? So how do you receive that anointing? And how do you walk in that anointing? I'm so glad you asked. One, you got to have faith. Verse 12, Jesus told them, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Not only saving faith, but faith that he will do it. Let me tell you, the same God that can save our, you know, carcass out of hell, that same God can save you to something, can save you to do great and mighty works by the power of his Spirit that he's already poured out. Come on, say me, already poured out. And I appreciate artists, you know, in their, you know, creativity, how they want to just, you know, sing beautiful songs, but the Spirit of God was poured out in the day of Pentecost, and he don't need to be poured out because he's here. We got to receive it. You have to receive him, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So not only saving faith, and faith comes by hearing by the word of God, but faith also is a gift that can come by being with people of faith. Where are you going to hear the most about God? Around the people of God. Hallelujah. So let me tell you, if you're on a journey right now and it feels like things are tough, you know, let me tell you, when things are tough, the tough get going. Hallelujah. Like, wow. Revelation. If you get along people, let me, you know, anybody see the flying V of the ducks when they fly home? They're all gone, I think. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to sing a dirge. We'll not say what we saw on the top of mountains today. But anyway, you know why they fly that in that formation? Because they like the letter V. No. Because of drag. When the guy is flying in the front, all of those who are flying behind him is getting the benefit of his work. And, you know, each one is making the trip easier for the other one. And when the guy in the front, and they rotate constantly so that it is easy for all to keep going. Let me tell you, if you're going through a hard time, what you don't need is a break from church. What you don't need is a break from prayer. What you don't need is, I'm going to take a season off of life groups. No. You need to get in extra life groups. You need to lead more life groups. Because if you're getting time to be belly aching and feeling bad for yourself, you got too much time on your hands. It's time to work, and work so hard for the Lord that you're not gonna have time to think about the belly aches. Faith comes by hearing. You know, you got to testify about what God has done in your life. You don't have to testify on the microphone. You don't have to testify at early morning. I mean, you can testify at early morning prayer. You can testify to the people on the street. You can testify to whoever it is. You can testify to the birds. Hallelujah. The healing power of God requires faith. And the faith equation is, you receive it in your heart, then it manifests in your hand. You got to believe it. Faith without works is dead. You know, a lot of people believe, oh, you know, when I, you know, you're praying, and but you believe that things can't happen. But you don't believe that it'll happen for you. You're still waiting it for someday it to manifest. But actually, faith, you believe that you already have it. So when you believe that you already have it, you act like you have it. Secondly, one, What do you got to do? You got to have faith. Secondly, you got to pray. If you don't pray, you know your faith is weak. Verse 13, he says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. Did he say, I will do whatever you interpretive dance in my name? No. Did he say, I will do whatever you, you know, serve in my name? No. Did he say, I will do whatever you, you know, what? It's so fascinating that people that, you know, oftentimes, oh, praise the Lord, Pastor Daniel can fix all things. I trust him. But it's so fascinating that oftentimes that the people that have the least fruit in their lives often have the most opinion about how to do things. And they want the church, they come into the one of the largest churches and the biggest churches, and they want to tell the pastor how to do things because, you know, according to their opinion, that's not how it is. Sweetheart, sir, Bubba, how many thousands of people have you led to the Lord? But if you will plug in and have faith, and believe and ask. Say, come on, say with me, ask. No, I gotta guard my prayer time. Like, you know, I know the church has a prayer time, but you know, this is like organized religion. And organized religion is not like, you know, the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is like, you know, we're all individuals, we're all children of God. Like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You need to come to early morning prayer. I just, no, I gotta guard against my own walk. Listen, Bubba. Listen, Babette. Your direction for your own life is how you got in so much trouble. And the portion that you've been walking in freedom and the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost is the portion where you've submitted to godly leadership and being led by godly pastors, which we have amazing pastors, and that's how you got the victory you got. Don't change. And he says, whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, you may ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. When you pray, God will do what you ask if you ask in faith. Make prayer such a part of your life that praying is automatic. That it's a lifestyle. Dr. Morocco teaches us, don't organize your life around prayer. Don't organize prayer around your life. Organize your life around prayer. In other words, quit your job so you can be here at Hillary Morning Prayer. Pastor Daniel will never tell you to quit your job to be at prayer. But you know what he did? I guarantee you he quit his job to be at prayer. He got the breakthrough. You know who did? All these guys, anybody who's living in victory has made prayer. You know, we go on trips. We have prayer. We went to see a building in Newburgh, New York, was with Pastor Daniel. Hey, we got prayer at 7 in the morning. Okay, we went to the room and we had prayer. We pray everywhere about everything. It should be an automatic part of your life. If you pray only when you're in trouble, God just might let you stay in trouble all the time. Because if you didn't have trouble, you wouldn't pray. Well, God's not mean. Yeah, he's not nice either. He's kind. He's gentle. How many know Ned Flanders is not a real representative of Christian? So first, you got to have faith. Then you got to pray. Come on, say with me, pray. How do I pray? Come to early morning prayer. Hang around these pastors, these ministers who are praying. Learn how to pray. Hallelujah. Thirdly, love God and obey him. Well, you know, I love God in my own way. No, no, no. Listen, Willis. If your name is Willis, I am talking to you. No, just kidding. I just saw Jeep Willis on the way here. But we got to love God more than our screens. How many times God wants to speak with you, but you're distracted with your screen? Do you wake up and thank God, or do you check your team status? You wake up in the morning, do you watch funny videos or do you praise the Lord and read the scriptures? You know, our love for God can be easily distracted because we don't see God. God is invisible. Doesn't mean he's not real. God is real. He's a real God. He's a live God. It can happen, you know, even in marriages where people get so caught up in their jobs. Today, they forget the joy of marriage. Especially if you watch a lot of Netflix and a lot of, you know, sitcoms and a lot of programs. It's like, you know, always the husband is an idiot. The wife is, you know, a complainer, because I'm not going to use another word. And the kids are like, you know, the smartest ones and everything. Always complaining. How many know that's not the picture of marriage that we see in scriptures? You know, some people say, like, we fell out of love. Really? You shouldn't be falling in love. I know some of you like Elvis, but Elvis was wrong. Falling in love. No, 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 you don't fall in love. Passion is momentary. One pastor described it as a death march to a life camp. Marriage is it's a death march to a life camp, because the ways of the world are inverted and you think, I got to take care of myself. I got to take care of number one. But no, 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 no. That's not reality. That's not the reality of humanity, of how God created us. But in sacrifice, in living for your spouse, in living for your wife, in living for your husband, submit. My wife is obedient to me. Pastor Rosie obeys Pastor Gil because she's a submitted wife. I know people like, what? Like, okay, calm down, feminist. I am obedient to her. What? I thought the man's supposed to rule everything. We do. Hallelujah. But it's the fear, you know, following the example of Christ. Like, I'll die for you someday, baby. I'll take a bullet for you. And like, homeboy's never around. That's not marriage. You'll never fall out of love if you live intentionally in love with your husband, with your wife. If you don't have any eye candy, your husband or your wife will always look smashing. But if you walk around checking out anything that walks, you're like, well, you know, I'm falling out of love. That's, if you said I'm falling out of love, it's because you're checking out everything that walks. Minister Dusty told me to say that. You can complain to him afterwards. You can get so distracted. Oh, I'm so busy at work. It's the same thing with God. You can get so caught up in life that you forget the joy of walking with God and talking with God and serving him. Oh, I gotta go to church tonight. I gotta work with the kids. Oh no, you need to get saved. You forgot how hard life was without Jesus. Hallelujah. We show love for God by our obedience to him. When you obey God, you obey his word. Well, you know, I believe in relativity. You're wrong. Not only the specifics of his word, but his promptings when he's speaking to us. Come up hither. Hallelujah. God, you know, God is always speaking. It's not, you know, if you ever pray like, wow, heavens is like a bronze. No, the heavens are never bronze. Because he says, my ear is not shut up that I cannot hear you. My arm is not withered that I cannot reach you. But our God is an ever-present help in time of need. Hallelujah. If the heavens seem like it's shut up, it's not on God's fault side. It's on our side. Because we want to appropriate, we want God to stoop down to our level of how we communicate. Stoop down to how we want to do things and not actually submit to the way that God moves, the way that God speaks. Well, I don't need a pastor. I don't need a church. Well, I'm in the body of Christ. You know somebody, you know, that got issues when they go to the body of Christ as their church. The Bible says, by the way, if you don't submit to man who you can see, how can you say you submit to God who you can't see? Praise the Lord. Now, if the specifics of his word, but the promptings he speaks to us. And walking in the power and the anointing is key for changing the world. But that power and anointing is released as we obey. You cannot increase in the power of God You cannot increase in the anointing of God unless you're walking in obedience, unless you're walking in submission, unless you understand authority. Hallelujah. And the anointing is released as we obey the word of the Lord, the word, the written word, and the rhema as he speaks to you. And let me tell you something. God is never going to speak to you apart from his word. You're not going to get some special revelation that is contrary to the word of God. But rather, whenever he speaks to you, he will go through the word of God. Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin, who was a great, the father of faith, really, a great man of God. In his book, he's writing, I believe in vision, he's writing about an encounter he's having with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord tells him something. There's a demonic encounter. And so there's demons as the Lord speaking to him, comes around, and things. A lot of people think, like, if I'm a Christian, if I'm full of God, then the devil can never, tempt me. No, the devil tempted Jesus. So if the devil tempt Jesus, you can be tempted. Hallelujah. Just like anybody can come up to you in the spirit realm is the same way. And so he's having this encounter with the Lord where the Lord is speaking to him. And he says that, this spirit comes around and it's making a lot of noise. It's shrilling. And it's like, isn't he going to do anything about this? Isn't Jesus going to do anything about this? And finally he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. And that thing scurried away and ran it away. And all the thing disappeared and he could see and hear Jesus again. And he was like, Lord, what happened? And Jesus said, if you had not rebuked it, I couldn't, because I've delegated my authority to you. And he says, well, I don't believe that. The Bible's, and he has like, you got to show me in the Bible at least two places in the Bible. He's talking to having an encounter with Jesus. Some people nowadays, have an encounter with angels and, smoking weed. Like, no, that's not Jesus. Hallelujah. So the anointing is released as we obey the word of God. There's no shortcut to the Holy Spirit power. He anoints you to do his work, but there's no shortcut. You do it through obedience. In John 16:7 says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. So we need to pray. We need to have faith. We need to pray. We need to obey the Lord. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm so blessed you're at church tonight. So blessed that you're hungry and thirsty for the things of God. But God is calling you up higher. Hallelujah. And you got to embrace the entirety of the works of Jesus, what Jesus has did. That's reading the word of God and embracing everything that Jesus did, realizing that you were called to do the same things. Sometimes people come to church and they're expecting God to just, Lord, do everything for me. That's not, no, God wants to heal you. He wants to save you, heal you, fill you with his spirit, and then release you to do something for him. Let me say that again. God wants to save you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to fill you with his spirit and then release you to do something for the Lord. And let me tell you, you will experience the greatest power and anointing and joy. And you will see the greatest things happen in your life when you surrender to that reality and you begin to move in the way that God has for you in obedience, in growing, in faith, in prayer, in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Walking in his compassion. Are you compassionate? Or do you honk at people when you're late for prayer? Literally, I was driving to prayer this morning, and this lady was driving 23 miles an hour in front of me. 23. And I honked 3 times, because being right up on there, near the car was not enough. And I'm like, oh no, it must be, and my license plates don't lie where I go to church. It says Kings 2, in God we trust, Kings 2. And I was like, beep, 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 okay, 25 miles an hour. Literally, the whole way, up the hill and down the hill, pump the brakes. And I'm like, oh no, it's probably a grandma. I am not showing the love of Christ to this grandma right now. I love you, grandmas. And I love you, sister, if you're watching online. And I just backed off and I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. We got to have compassion. Come on, say with me, compassion. Jesus recognized people. He touched the lepers, the unwanted, the people that didn't want to be here. Or, that most don't want around. God loves you. And we love you. We love you. We love everybody. We have standards. We have, there's ways of comportment that you must, adhere to. But we love everybody. Everyone is welcome. Hallelujah. Jesus was angry over sin. Do you get angry over sin? Or just other people's sins? Come on, we're going to do the works of Jesus. Say with me, I'm going to do the works of Jesus. We've been married, my wife and I, for 21.8 years. I calculated it. And we're still getting to know each other. It's wonderful. I have a wonderful wife. She's a great woman of God. She's beautiful. Amen. There's nobody like her. She's my life partner for all eternity. Hallelujah. But how many know? We have the conversation today. I want to know you more. She's like, you need to know me more. okay. What do I need to do? It's the same thing with the Lord. We will never exhaust growing in our knowledge of God. Even when we get to eternity, the mercies of the Lord renew themselves each morning, morning by morning. God is such a great and amazing God that even the angels in heaven, as they see him, they glorify him. Every day they glorify him. They say all day, glory, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of God, heaven's armies. Hallelujah. We serve a great God, and you must be hungry to love him. Worship team, would you come, please? God says, I want you to reflect me in the earth, and I will anoint you to do greater things. How many of you believing to do greater things in your life? How many of you believing for breakthrough in your life? How many of you believing for a great victory in your life? I said this in Eagle River last night, that many times when you go to sleep, right when you're between that sleep, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, right between being awake and falling asleep, you see yourself, but it's a different version of yourself. Maybe you see yourself preaching. Maybe you see yourself doing something great. Maybe you see somebody yourself, not as the, where you find yourself right now, but a version of yourself that you're like, man, if I could only be that way. How many of you ever had that experience? That's the Lord calling you up. And if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. The Lord is calling you up to be compassionate and touch those in need. To be someone that he speaks to and obeys. The Lord's speaking to you. He speaks to us. He's a speaking God. You know that God wants to bless you even more than you want to be blessed? God does not have a problem with you being rich. God does not have a problem with you having so much abundance that you could drive whatever you want, live wherever you want. You know that God is a rewarder. He gives us himself. How will he not more? How will he not give us also everything else? Whatsoever you desire in Mike 4, he will give to you. He's a rewarder. God rewards those who obey him. Whatever idea you have, if I become a Christian, then I'm going to have to give up. No, you're not. Maybe for a season like the disciples, when they were like, Jesus, hey, listen, guys, I'm about to die, but it's going to be better for you. What? I'm going to take away your binky. A lot of Christians want their binky. They want their comfort. They want God to be doing everything for them. They want Jesus to heal everybody. They don't want to lay hands on nobody. They want Jesus to walk, follow Jesus. Literally, like, where's Jesus going? Let's just go. I don't want to hear the Spirit. I just want to follow somebody. Where are we going, Jesus? And Jesus is like, I'm gone. I'm going to leave you the Spirit that is going to lead you in all truth. And you're going to be able to do greater things than I did. And even some of you right now, that's not even computing. You're like, wow, I wonder what that means. It means that you can do greater things than Jesus did on the earth. Because he's called us to do that. And maybe you say, well, you know, you don't know me. You don't know where I come from. He says, Revelation 22, 12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Not according to God's work, according to your work. God is going to, if you're a believer, you're going to show up before the Lord with all your works, with all that you have done. I don't know if you're going to be holding it. I don't know if it's how, you know, if it's going to be like there's a heaven shipment of works. I don't know how that's going to work. But God is going to take one big match, light it, and throw it. And if you have a pile of good works, it's going to be silver, gold, silver, and precious stones. They're not going to get burned up. But some are going to have a big pile of hay, wood, and stubble. And when that match is lit, or I don't know, maybe it's going to come from his eyes. It's going to be like, nothing's going to be left over. But the good news is you can change that right now. God is going to reward you. Come on, say with me, God's going to reward me. Don't believe the lie that what you do for the Lord is robbing you of time. That your giving is going to leave you with less. There are those that scatter and have more. That is the economy of the kingdom of God. There are those that withhold, and even what they have, they lose. The problem is if you haven't seen a return is because you're not expecting. Or you scorch your, you know, it's like the guy, anyways, you may believe it can happen, but you don't believe it will. Every Christian believes it can happen. Can God heal? Can God heal you? Why aren't you healed? Well, because God hasn't done it. What do you mean he hasn't done it? If he says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, we were healed. You were healed. You was healed. Now, if you was, is you? You are. Who are these people that understand this type of language? You see, many believe that when you give that you're going to see a return, but many don't believe it's going to be for them. I want you to tonight to begin to believe and expect it for yourself. And begin to see in your heart, begin to see with your eyes of faith, you having that thing you're praying for right now. Begin to believe, begin to expect. If you believed it, you wouldn't be sad about it and you wouldn't complain about it. Well, God doesn't heal me. He'll never heal you when you talk like that. He hasn't healed me yet. He'll never heal you talking like that. But how is it that you don't have any of the things you should have having had what you have? Isn't that amazing? The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead abides on the inside of you and quickens your mortal body. Let me tell you, no matter what anybody in my family ever had, I'm never going to have any of those things. I'm going to live a long life. Hallelujah. When I'm done, I'm going to die like Jacob did. You know how Jacob died? Jacob was old and filled with days. And when after he had blessed all his children, he put up his feet on the bed and he said, see you later, and gave up the ghost. Filled with years, not broke, not years, years, full life. If you believe that, you rejoice and celebrate it. Mark 11, 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You see, God has anointed you. He's given you His Spirit. The Spirit of God is not in heaven waiting for, you know, for the right moment to like pour Himself out on you. He's already been poured out 2,000 years ago. It is our job to receive Him. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight if you will believe it and if you will receive it. Come on, say with me, receive it. Come on, let's stand. The having comes after believing. The having comes after believing. You believe that you have it, you will receive it. Begin to rejoice and praise God, because by faith, He has already done it. Whatever you're believing God to do for you, by faith, it has already been done. If you are a child of God, if you are believing God for something, by faith, it has already been done. Begin to act. Begin to move. Begin to praise Him. Begin to talk, hallelujah, like it's already been done. And you will see it manifest in your life. Don't make excuses why you're not serving God. He's anointed you. He's called you. But you got to press in. You got to show up. And I want to encourage you. We're in the greatest season. Why are we doing this, you know, what do you call it? Speedy track? Intensive track? It's not that intensive. It just means, you know, intensive as in like, you know, we're going to do it all at once. It's not that intensive. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's a fast track. It's like, you know, how many like to drive fast? It's the speed lane discover track. It's the express lane. It's like, I'm going to get to my victory faster. But if you never show up, if you never come to prayer, like, well, tomorrow I'm going to, don't do it tomorrow. Do it today. Sleep in the parking lot if you have to. Don't just sleep in the parking lot. Go home. Come back tomorrow. Praise the Lord. We won't let you sleep in the parking lot, but you get what I'm saying. Begin right now. Begin believing. Begin asking. You're going to leave tonight not wondering, you know, one day on the bye-bye. It's going to happen before the end of the year. Come on, say with me. It's going to happen. What I'm believing God for, it's going to happen before the end of the year. Get up and walk. Get up and move. Stop making excuses. The Lord has given you everything you need for life in godliness. It's time to shoot those excuses. It's hunting season in Alaska. So, you know, wherever place you are, do what they do there. You know, in some places they wave flags. Not in Alaska. In Alaska, we don't wave flags. We shoot things. Hallelujah. Shoot your excuses. You don't know what these hands have done. You're not that bad. Quit saying those things. I failed many times. Yeah, so did Peter. So did those men of old and women of old that did great things. I'm a woman. Yeah, there's women apostles in the Bible. God has a great purpose for your life. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just somebody from Mosilla. So? I'm just from Eagle River. You know, everybody calls it Eagle Rock, Eagle Creek. I'm like, what the heck, man? It's Eagle River. Like, we got Pastor Gill. And like, this isn't like, you know, in our own churches. Like, Pastor Gill, is it Eagle Rock? Eagle River. Can something great come out of Eagle Rock? It can come out of Eagle Rock. It can come out of Eagle River. It can come whatever, wherever, out of where I am. Because God's called me. And when you rise up, whatever village, whatever place, wherever excuse you may have, it's not good enough. It's not powerful enough to keep God from blessing you, to keep God from using you. Well, you don't know my family. You don't know my history. Who cares? When you get saved, you become a child of God. You become a son of God. You become a daughter of God. Whatever your pedigree was, doesn't matter. What matters is that now you are in Christ, positioned in Him. And everything that He did, you can do. Everything that He has, you have. Everything that He will do, you will do. Come on, say with me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to shrink back. Oh, I'm too old. I'm retiring. No, you're refired. All of you here who are retirement age, there's a host of men that don't know how to be men. There's a host of women that don't know how to be women. All you got to do is just get in, get together, yoke up with Pastor Daniel, with our pastoral staff, and teach a young man how to do something. Brother Mike Metal taught me how to change calip brakes. I learned how to change brakes at the age of whatever, how old I was, 7, 8 years ago, 33, 34, like Jesus' age, praise Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, you know, I learned how to change brakes, hallelujah. See, God can do miracles. You know, I taught my friend taught his son. Because one man took 45 minutes to teach a ignorant man, younger man, how to do something. And it's changed my life. It's changed his life. Simple thing, simple thing. Every one of us can be doing something greater for the Lord. You don't want to be, you know, there's a movie called Schindler's List. And I wanted to play the video tonight, but because of copyright things, it wouldn't be legal or right. But right at the end of the movie, during the Holocaust, Schindler saved over 1,100 Jews from the concentration camps. And he's standing there, and they hand him a letter signed by every single one of them for stating what he had done. And he looks at the guy, and the guy hands him a ring, and it says, it's from the Talmud, and it says that he who saves a life saves the world entire. It's from the Talmud. He who saves a life saves the world entire. And he grabs that ring, a womanizer, a drunkard, a philanderer, a war profiteer who turned into a rescuer of lives. And he looks at that ring. He who saves a life saves the world entire. And he drops it and he picks it up and he puts it on his wedding finger. And he looks at the man and he says, if I had made more money. And he stops himself and he chuckles, a nervous chuckle, and he says, I wasted so much money. And he looks at his car. It's like, this car, I could have saved 10 more people. I could have saved 10 more people. I wasted so much money. I wasted so much time. And he has got a pin. He says, this pin is a gold pin. I could have saved 2 people. I could have saved 1 person. I could have saved children. And he's looking at everything that he had left. And he says, all of this for nothing. Sirs, ma'ams, you don't want to get to the time where you're looking at Jesus in the face. And he's about to light to fire everything that you got. And he's saying, and you're thinking, oh, I could have done more. We can all do more. Not condemnation, but I'm telling you, if you will begin right now. Jesus, he says, the works that I have done, you can do the same works. And I want to encourage you tonight to lay down every excuse that you have, to lay down every reason you have for not growing in the things of God, for not pursuing God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Jesus said that those that leave mother and father and sisters and house and things here on earth, you will receive 100-fold here on the earth and much more in heaven. I'm telling you, that dream you have, that even that dream house, that dream car, that dream life you have is behind you being faithful to God. And I want to make a call right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. First and foremost, if you've never surrendered your life to God, your best life awaits you. It's at the end of you surrendering yourself to Jesus and calling on the name of the Lord and making him the Lord of your life. Not your once a week boyfriend. Not your, you know, once a month deal, but an everyday, the Lord of your everyday, morning through night. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what you've done. You know, maybe because of you had something happen in your life. Maybe a divorce. Maybe the loss of a friend. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe you were mistreated. Maybe you were abused. And you say, how could a good God allow this? No. It wasn't God. It was the devil that wanted to destroy you, that wanted to kill you, that wanted to destroy your hope and destroy your future. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. It wasn't God, but it was God who intervened on your behalf to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And if you will come to him tonight and surrender and call upon his name, he will enter into your life and he will make all things new. If you're here tonight and say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus, I want you to raise your hands with me right now, whether for the very first time, hallelujah, or you want to rededicate your life. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? God has the best in store for you. All you got to do is show up. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Lift your hands high. I see those hands. I see those hands. I'm telling you, God is about to move in a powerful way in a Samoan community, in a Polynesian community. We're about to see a great breakthrough, a great harvest of souls. And I serve notice right now to every unjust agent and to every demonic power. You have lost and you must back away and loose your hands. Hallelujah. So right now, anybody else, I see those hands. I want you to pray with me right now. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me brand new. Be the Lord of my life. Thank you for raising again from the grave for me. Thank you for being my Lord. I will follow you with everything that is in me. Thank you. Forgive me all of yourself. I give you all of me in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for all these that called upon your name tonight. I declare your blessing over them right now. I command every assignment of hell, every work of darkness to be broken over your life in Jesus' name. Every plan of the enemy, every assignment against you to trip you up, I cancel it now in Jesus' name. I speak to every foul devil, to every foul thing of darkness. I command you now to loose your hold and to leave in the name of Jesus. Leave this place, leave their lives, and never come back in the name of the Lord. Then I bless you. I decree over you open doors. I decree over every single one of your lives, over every single one of your business, a release of income, a release of blessing, a release. Everything that has been delayed over your life, I decree it by the end of this week, it shall be loosed. If you have something in court, if you have anything that's going on in any item, you know, finances, whether it be family, I decree a release right now by the end of this week in Jesus' mighty name. And I declare your blessing of God over your life. Come on, let's give a shout to the Lord.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.